Who's going to feel the cuts of the debt ceiling deal? Certainly graduate students.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In just a few minutes, the U.S. Senate will likely pass a debt ceiling deal that averts a possible default. President Obama then will speak from the White House shortly after that. And we're getting more details about the compromise this morning. For one, savings will come at the expense of graduate school students who are losing a subsidized loan program which doesn't charge them any interest until months after they graduate. Pauline Abernathy is vice president at the Institute for College Access and Success, and she's with us now from Philadelphia. Good morning.
Good morning.
What changes are we talking about here, and who's most affected in this?
Well, the agreement recognizes the critical role that Pell Grants play to economic opportunity, mobility, and our nation's economic competitiveness. So it provides additional funding for the Pell Grant program, and it does this at no additional cost to taxpayers by eliminating the in-school interest subsidy for graduate students.
How much are we talking about to the average grad student then?
Well, it will vary based on the length of the program and the cost of the program, but for some graduate students, it could mean thousands of dollars more.
Well, even though it's going to cost more for the grad students, do you think it was the right decision to make sure that the Pell Grant program stayed intact?
Pell Grants have to be the priority. One can't make it to graduate school unless one first graduates from undergraduate college. And Pell Grants are essential to doing that for more than 9 million low and moderate income Americans.
Pauline Abernathy with the Institute for College Access and Success. Pauline, thanks.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now for the most part, off anywhere from 0.5% or more. The Dow is off 91 points now at 12,041. GM said today sales were up by 8% in July thanks to more fuel-efficient cars. But another less-than-stellar report this morning from the Commerce Department. Personal income nudged higher, yeah, last month, but Americans spent a little less money. Over in China, Foxconn, which makes iPhones and iPads for Apple, says it's going to replace a portion of its workforce with robots. Now, Foxconn's been criticized for its harsh working conditions. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Foxconn's chairman said he's opting for robots because the cost of labor in China is too high. Other manufacturers along China's fast-growing East Coast have noticed the same thing. Employees aren't coming back after holidays because they're not being paid enough. As a result, Jeffrey Crothall of China Labor Bulletin says he's seeing a lot of factories near Hong Kong go bankrupt.
But as those industries are closing down, more and more are opening up in inland provinces.
Crothall says foreign companies are opting to head to lower-cost provinces in China's interior rather than packing up and leaving China. That's because China's home to the fastest-growing consumer population on the planet. So why move your factory when your consumers are right next door?
They have to be in China. They can outsource some of their production to other developing countries, as you say, like Bangladesh, Cambodia, Indonesia, but they will still maintain quite a substantial presence within China.
Last year, Foxconn was criticized for its working conditions after a dozen factory workers killed themselves. Crothall says if robots can take over some of the more tedious work at these factories, that's a good thing. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Investors have been fleeing Italian stocks and bonds today, worried about debt problems in that country. Meanwhile, European countries could learn some hard lessons from the actions of another nation that was sunk during the financial crisis, Iceland. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Iceland never does anything halfway, and so when it went bust back in 2008, it really went bust.
It was a total collapse of the financial system.
Former Foreign Minister Jon Baldvin Hannibalsson.
All the banks and saving institutions, even insurance companies, went bankrupt in a day.
But 3 years on, says the president, Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson, Iceland is doing rather well.
We are coming out of this crisis earlier and stronger than anybody, including ourselves, could have expected.
Iceland is growing again, and faster than many countries in the eurozone. That's partly because it's not in the eurozone. It has its own currency that fell like a stone after the crisis. And that, says economist Magnus Arni Skúlason, made Iceland's exports much cheaper and boosted its main industries.
Fisheries, aluminium exports and tourism. And those industries have been doing very, very well.
Another key to Iceland's revival, says Jón Baldvin Hannibalsson, is that its government did not, could not, bail out its banks.
That meant that foreign creditors, mainly German, British, Dutch banks, took a huge loss.
They'd unwisely lent heavily to Icelandic banks and lost a sum five times the size of the whole Icelandic economy. But that's a loss that the taxpayers of Iceland won't have to bear. Jón Danielsson of the London School of Economics says Ireland should have done the same thing when its banks got into trouble.
The Irish government should have refused to bail out this bank, let them go bust, let the foreign creditors take a hit. If they had done that, the government of Ireland would be in a much better situation than it is now.
The lesson from Iceland at this stage seems clear. When your banks are crippled with debt and the creditors are mostly foreign, you should swallow your national pride and let the banks collapse. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, who can forget the daily TV visit to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Starting in fall of 2012, there's going to be a sequel. The network PBS Kids will debut an animated series called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, featuring the all-grown-up characters from the land of make-believe. And even though the show will be produced by the Fred Rogers Company, they still have quite the sneakers to fill. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You lose a job, it's not just a paycheck that goes.
All the markers of identity and dignity are trashed in a way when you lose a job. It's not a joke.
We're not laughing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Humiliation, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.